Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship in Rancho Cucamonga. My prayer is that you'll have a wonderful and blessed Easter. If you don't have a home, you can always come and worship online with us. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com and click on the link. Or you can go to our YouTube and watch any of our services. The YouTube channel is The Seed Christian Fellowship. Happy Easter. He is risen. He is risen indeed. What a joyful, jubilant, and hopeful statement. Jesus is risen from the dead. The tomb is empty. I challenged you last week to go and look at some of the last words that Jesus spoke. Go and read some of the last words that Jesus spoke before going to the cross and the grave. Jesus washed the disciples' feet and promised them that he was going to go and prepare a place for them. I love John chapter 14. I wonder what the disciples were thinking when they all ran in fear. I wonder what they thought when they heard that their teacher and Lord was arrested, convicted, and crucified. Exactly what kind of place was Jesus preparing for them? Jesus promised them peace. Peace, not like the world gives, is what Jesus promised to give. Boy, do we need peace in our world. We need peace in our hearts. We need peace in our homes and our schools. Jesus said, I give you peace, but not like the world gives. Jesus said to them, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. John 14:27. What kind of peace comes from a flogging, mocking, spit upon trial, and finally ended up being nailed to the cross? Last week, if you were listening, we celebrated Palm Sunday. We heard that the King of Israel, Jesus, rode into Jerusalem triumphantly on the donkey amid shouts and cheers. Millions of people were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel, John 12:13. Jesus had just raised Lazarus from the tomb and word had spread. Everyone wanted to meet this Jesus. Wouldn't you? Before we read our scripture today, I would call them Easter words of life. Let us come to the living Lord in prayer. God, you are the God of all life. This week we celebrate Easter. We are here to be renewed, restored, reconciled, even resurrected from our old dead lives. Help us, Lord, to discover this resurrection peace. Amen. Well, grab your Bible. We're going to be in John chapter 11, 17 to 27. On the arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. Wow. Did you hear those powerful words that Jesus spoke to Martha? I am the resurrection and the life. He who comes to me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Well, do you believe this? The disciples had witnessed Jesus raising the dead not once, not twice, but three different times. He had raised the widow's son in Luke 7:15. Jesus also raised Jairus' daughter in Luke 8. The week before Jesus went into Jerusalem, Jesus raised one of his best friends who had been dead in the tomb for 4 days. Jesus told Mary and Martha that he was the resurrection and the life. Jesus asked her if she believed him. Martha, remember Martha? She was one of Lazarus's two sisters, Mary and Martha. Martha was quite a servant. Lazarus had thrown a party and Martha got upset because her sister didn't help her, but sat at Jesus' feet and hung on every word. Here's Martha's redemption story. Jesus has just asked her if she believes Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Score one for Martha. She answered, "Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Messiah." Jesus raises his best friend Lazarus from the dead with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And he did. Holy smokes. Literally, I mean, holy smokes. Not once, not twice, but three times, Jesus has raised someone from the dead. Word spreads like wildfire. Jesus now heads to Jerusalem. It's Passover week. There probably are, by scholars' figures, there are probably about 2.7 million Jews gathered there to celebrate the Passover, not to mention the defiled or non-Jews who weren't even counted. This story has gone before Jesus, and he enters Jerusalem. The crowds have gathered to see the man who has raised people from the dead. Wouldn't you want to meet this guy if you were around? Lee Strobel wrote these words in his book, The Case for Christ. He said, "The evidence for the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus didn't develop gradually over the years as mythology distorted memories of his life. Rather, said resurrection expert Gary Habermas, the resurrection was the central proclamation of the early church from the very beginning." Concluded British theologian Michael Green, "The appearances of Jesus are as well authenticated as anything in antiquity. There can be no rational doubt that they occur." Okay, Jesus has been crucified, buried in a borrowed tomb. Jesus died on a Friday, and his Jewish friends had to bury him by sundown on Friday before the Sabbath started on Saturday. Saturday was their Sabbath. They could not go out to anoint the body until sunrise the next morning or on Sunday. What were the first words that the risen Christ spoke to Mary Magdalene at the tomb on that first Easter morning? Go to your, flip to John chapter 20, verse 15. Jesus said, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" What powerful words. Why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for? Mary Magdalene thinks Jesus is the gardener. She wants to know where the gardener has put the body because the body's not in the tomb where she went to anoint the body. Jesus then calls Mary by name. Mary. Mary stops what she's doing and recognizes that voice. Jesus tells her to go tell the disciples that he is ascending to his Father and our Father, his God and our God. Mary goes and finds the disciples and shares the news with them. "I have seen the Lord." And she told them everything that Jesus had said to her. Can you imagine being one of the 11 disciples now? After everything that's happened during the past 3 years, and especially during the past 3 days, here's Mary Magdalene giving you the news that she's seen and talked with Jesus. The guy that was crucified, dead, and buried, he's alive. Remember, this is Sunday morning, early Sunday morning. Now let's hear what happened later that Sunday. Grab your Bibles, John chapter 20, 19 to 31. On the evening of the first day of the week, while the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them, and he said, "Peace be with you. Shalom aleichem." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you." In Hebrew, Shalom aleichem. "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand in his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them, and he said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Wow. What wonderful words. I encourage you to go read the Gospel of John, chapter 20, 19 to 31. Peace be with you. Those are powerful words. If you're taking notes, my 3 points today are: Jesus comes to us where we are. Jesus speaks peace when we need it the most. And Jesus opens our eyes so we can believe. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. And if you need special prayer during this week, you can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship. Click on the prayer icon, and we would gladly have our prayer team pray for you. Jesus comes to us where we are. Jesus speaks peace when we need it the most. And Jesus opens our eyes so we can believe. The first point that I'd like to make this morning is that no matter where we are, I'm going to make it personal, no matter where you are, no matter what you have done, no matter how far you have run, no matter how weak your faith is, no matter how strong you think you are, no matter how sad you are, no matter how afraid you are, no matter if you too are hiding behind locked doors, Jesus will come to you where you are. It's right here in John chapter 20. Jesus found Mary Magdalene at the tomb. Mary saw that the stone had been rolled away. Mary saw that the tomb was empty. Mary saw two angels. Mary was crying because she could not find Jesus. Well, aren't we a little bit like Mary Magdalene? We know that the stone has been rolled away. We know the tomb is empty. We just can't find Jesus in the midst of our tears and our fears. An old story of a company attempting to start a new pension plan, which required 100% of participation. Every employee signed up except one. No amount of argument or persuasion could get this person to change his mind. Finally, the president of the company called the man into his office. "Here is a copy of the proposed pension plan, and here is a pen," he said. "Sign up or you're fired." Whereupon the man immediately picked up the pen and signed his name. The president of the company then asked, "I don't understand why you refused to sign until now. What was your problem?" The man replied, "You're the first person who explained it to me clearly." It's Easter. It's Easter morning, and the story has been told very clearly to Mary Magdalene. Jesus came to her right where she was. The disciples are now gathered in the upper room. They've been hiding there since the night of Jesus' arrest in fear of the Jews. They're now just heard the tomb was empty. Mary has seen Jesus and has spoken to Jesus. Jesus knew her and spoke to her. I am sure that Peter and John had told everyone that they had seen that the stone had been rolled away. They had seen Jesus' grave clothes, but they had not seen Jesus. Peter and John told them all that the tomb was empty. Yet despite the fact that the three people had seen the empty tomb, the disciples are still locked away, hiding. And then Jesus shows up, stands among them, and he says, "Peace be with you. Receive the Holy Spirit." How many of us are locked away in a room of doubt? or hesitation or uncertainty, fear, anxiety, distress, failure, disappointment, sin, pain, or isolation because of a pandemic. The good news here is that Jesus will show up in the middle of all that we are going through. Jesus showed up in the midst of Mary's tears. Jesus showed up in the midst of the disciples' fears. I promise you, Jesus will show up where you are. No matter where you are, Jesus will show up. Jesus comes to us right where we are. Before Jesus went to the cross, Jesus spoke words of peace to his disciples in the upper room. John 14:27, I read it earlier. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Jesus shows up on this Easter Sunday morning in the middle of the upper room. The first words that Jesus spoke to, well, he shows up really in the afternoon, I think. Jesus says to the disciples that little phrase, peace be with you. It's the Hebrew greeting, Shalom Aleichem. Jesus is there to bring peace. Jesus says, peace be with you. Not once, not twice, but three times. Wouldn't you want to have been there in that upper room? Their Prince of Peace has returned from the dead. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be with you. We too can have this peace. Can you imagine the peace of God? Can you put yourself in the upper room and there stands the Prince of Peace? This is exactly what the resurrection of Christ means. Peace. P-E-A-C-E. Peace. No matter what, Jesus speaks peace to us when we need it the most. Did you know that on one of the walls in the UN building appears a text lifted from Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4? They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Unfortunately, the first part of that verse has been deleted. The verse actually begins, and he, the Messiah, shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. The text was a gift of the Russian government to the UN. With all this is going on in our world today, isn't that amazing? Jesus comes to us where we are, and he speaks peace, words that bring us peace with God. The peace of God that surpasses all human understanding. Most of you know that my wife and I recently had to move, and the home where we were living in was laden with lead dust coming from the ventilation system. We couldn't let any other person help us because they would have been exposed to lead dust. We had been breathing lead dust over the past 5 years, we have 5 times the lethal limit that was all over everything in our home. Luckily, the remedy was relatively easy. Wear a mask, wear gloves, and wipe down and wash every single thing in the house. It took us 18 days to do that. My wife and I washed over 150 loads of laundry. We couldn't move it into our new place because the lead dust would have come with us and get into the ventilation in our house. There were days when we would just fall into bed exhausted. I don't know how many trips we made to and from that house in those 18 days, but I can tell you that there were 20 stoplights between the two houses. Each night we would fall into bed. Each morning we would wake up and get ready to go. I laughingly told my wife, "How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time." Jesus was with us and he spoke such loving words of peace to our souls. Peace be with you. Receive the Holy Spirit. I'm a believer that when you need Jesus the most, he will show up and speak those resurrection words to you too. Jesus speaks peace to us when we need it the most. It's an uncanny peace that pervades every circumstance and every situation. Did you know there's a story told about a monastery in Europe that was perched high on a cliff several hundred feet in the air? The only way to reach the monastery was to be suspended in a basket, which was pulled up to the top by several monks who pulled and tugged with all their strength. Obviously, the ride up the steep cliff in that basket was terrifying. One tourist got exceedingly nervous about halfway up as he noticed that the rope by which he was suspended was old and frayed. With a trembling voice, he asked the monk who was riding with him in the basket, how often they change the rope. And the monk thought for a moment and answered, whenever it breaks. Well, listen, Thomas was not with the disciples that first night that Jesus appeared. All the disciples had told him that they had seen the Christ. But Thomas says, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where his nails were and put my hands into his side, I will not believe. John 20, verse 25. I really believe that we are a lot like Thomas. We want to see Jesus before we believe. There was a man by the name of Jerry. Jerry was blind for 36 years of his life. Jerry lived in total darkness. Jerry longed to have a ray of hope, a ray of peace, a ray of light shine into his darkness. For Jerry, seeing was not believing. There was a doctor by the name of Dr. William Dubell. Dubell created an innovative device after 30 years of research in vision correction for the blind. The invention included a mini camera connected to a pair of sunglasses and a dictionary-sized computer that the patient carried in a belt pack. Getting the device to work was not an easy task. First, Jerry had to undergo brain surgery. Surgeons implanted a small piece of platinum foil between Jerry's brain and the dura mater, the membrane that supports the brain. The foil was covered with electrodes, tiny metal pieces that conducted electrical pulses, which connected directly to the brain cells that controlled his sight. The electrodes were attached to the wire that protruded from Jerry's skull through a small hole and hooked up to the computer. For Jerry to see an image, the camera on his sunglasses first snapped a picture. This image was shot through the wire to the portable computer, which translated the data into a series of electrical impulses. The pulses then raced through the wire connected to Jerry's brain, and finally the electrodes stimulated his brain cells into thinking that they're seeing. Each electrode produced dots of light into the patient's visual field like stars in the sky, says Dr. Dobell. He makes the world look like a photo negative. This view that Jerry enjoyed may not be perfect, but it made him a believer. Emerging from a world of darkness, he was suddenly seeing dots of light in his visual field in a photo negative view of reality, which is infinitely more than his eyes experienced before. Jerry's able to see, and that made the difference in Jerry's life. Jerry moved from darkness to the marvelous light. Luckily for Thomas, Jesus showed up a second time. He told Thomas, put your fingers here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it on my side. Stop doubting and believe. I love the story of Thomas. We are so much like him. We are so much like him. So what? It's Easter morning and the tomb is empty and Jesus has come back from the dead. Point one from this story, we've learned that Jesus will meet us right where we are. He met Mary in the garden. He met the 10 disciples in the upper room. He let Thomas spout off his disappointment and then showed up a second time just for Thomas to put his finger in his hands and his side. Jesus met my wife and I in our house of lead. Jesus can meet you wherever you are. Point two, here's what I think. When a man comes back from the dead, pay attention to what he says. Peace be with you. Receive the Holy Spirit. When we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, we are sealed with the marvelous gift of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Point three, Jesus opens our eyes so that we can believe. Well, may you know that Jesus will meet you. Just believe. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we give thanks for this Easter week, this Holy Week. We believe. We believe. Come into our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. Have a blessed week.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.